This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight? Aha! Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hour 2, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral about America's team. Brian Schottenheimer's press conference is scheduled for 15 minutes from now up there at the Star, and we will take you there when it goes live. This Cowboys team is bad. I think the bigger question is not 2025. It's when could you possibly see them being good again? Like, how many player acquisition windows is this going to take for them to solve all the problems on their team? Might need a new right tackle. Brian wants him to try Nate Thomas out there. The second-year player didn't play at all his rookie year, but he's been okay. But that's how bad it was with Terrence Steele. We'll get more Cowboys Twitter here in just a second. Latest on NBA gambling. The league is reassessing its position on legal sports betting, how it should be regulated, what type of bets should be allowed, and the best ways to protect players from the dire risks that gambling can impose upon their careers and livelihoods. League wrote in the memo that it's exploring ways to enhance the integrity monitoring programs to better use AI and other tools to synthesize all available data from betting operators, social media, and other sources to identify betting activity or concern. Right there at the end, that's where this thing is headed. There's no way they're actually going to turn their backs on all the gambling money that's flowing in. What they need to do is enhance the monitoring to make players feel like there's no way I could possibly get away with this.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they care about the players being harassed by people that lose wagers. If you gave them a truth serum, they'd probably say comes with the territory. It's not that different from fantasy sports. But when it comes to their players gambling on it and the blow to the integrity, but this might just be the tip of the iceberg, and we'll be tracking everything that has to do with this. Have you heard about Shoddy's presser? Is he going to go on time? Or
I could ask Scott Chigolnik on that real quick.
That would be amazing. Thank you, sir. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones agreeing post-game the team is far from being one player away off the Twitter account of Nick Harris. Are we one player away on defense? I think we're not. I think we're more than that away. But what we're closer than it looks in my mind. It's executing better on defense. If you get everybody healthy, does he have a point? Like, how much was losing Wilson and Hooker from your safety room a massive impact on yesterday's game?
None.
Really?
None. They weren't good when they were playing.
They're better than that, weren't they?
It might have looked a little better. Maybe you don't give up that one touchdown over the top to Troy Franklin where it seemed like nobody wanted to guard him and it floats right over Shamar James. But this defense, Donovan Wilson, I don't think is very good. And Malik Hooker, they'll tell you he's super smart, but Malik Hooker is a guy that'll have a great game and then does nothing for 6 weeks, and then here's a good game for you. I mean, I kind of agreed with Brian 2 years ago when you were like, you could upgrade here. I think safety is, again, one of those positions that they've totally overvalued who they've got, and none of these guys, I think they're all pretty average. I don't think any of them are special.
Brian, were the safeties a help yesterday?
They were a problem, man. I'll tell you what, that's something that, to me, that when you look at overall, though, that I just think the middle of the defense has been real poor this year.
Yeah.
You know, and they've struggled at defensive tackle. They've struggled clearly at inside linebacker. They've clearly struggled at safety. I think your defense, when you're bad on three levels and you're bad up the middle, it's just, it makes your defense a lot worse.
Yeah, they had like undrafted corners playing safety yesterday.
They had no choice.
They had to move Reddy Stewart over.
Reddy Stewart playing free safety, and one of the pass plays that they had that went downfield on a third down was, Reddy Stewart is playing like a true free safety, and Reddy Stewart probably played free safety in two practices this week, and all of a sudden now he's in the game trying to play as a third down defender. I'm not making excuses for him or anything like that, but Denver had a plan for how they were going to attack you. They clearly had a plan of who they were going to go after when he was out there. And unfortunately on the other side, when they lose their best player, you don't attack them.
That was weird.
Sertan goes down.
Yeah. You know? And when Sertan goes down, you're thinking like, okay, here's some opportunities. But you keep throwing the ball at, Riley Moss. And you're like, he keeps making plays, and you're like going, well, what's the problem here?
You got one-on-one with George Pickens, you're not taking it every time?
There's things that coaches do that I don't understand.
Or maybe Dak does?
Yeah, I don't understand that. And like I said, they clearly, Sean knew who your worst defenders were on the field the other day. And especially throwing the ball. That's who they isolated on. To make these plays.
That's one of the things I love, too, because going into the game, we're talking about how, Bo Nix leads the league in throwing screens at the line of scrimmage, playing scared, and they came into this one going, no, we're good. Yeah. We're going to have all day back there, and even Bo Nix can just throw it to wide open dudes all day.
Well, and looking at some of the still shots, I didn't watch the all 22 this morning, but it appeared on multiple plays like he could have picked any one of his targets.
Absolutely.
Yes. Like, I'll take this guy, Absolutely. That guy. Like, everybody is just getting cooked out there. So I'm looking for reasons to believe the Cowboys will look at this trade deadline as a chance to totally fix the team and go all in, put all the picks in play, trade both the ones, trade a two. So when Jerry says, are we one player away? I think we're not. I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's looking at it similarly, like the gambler is back. But then he says, we're closer than it looks in my mind. It's just executing better on defense. You can't
say that because they're physically, he can't say that. They're physically getting beat up front. They're physically, when they line up in formations in tight condensed formations, And you know damn good and well they're about to run crack toss and you can't do anything about it. When they line up with a wide receiver and you're all bunched there and everybody's getting blocked. The Mozzie's getting reached, the ends are getting reached, edges are getting cracked, and now the ball's and there's no alley player, no force player, and you know what damn play they're gonna run, and you still can't stop it. That's the thing that's so disheartening right now is you have just no ability to get stops the way you need to get stops. And they were able to get some stops against the Commanders because, again, the quarterback didn't play particularly well for the Commanders and their wide receivers were completely out of the game. But, you found a way to get some stops then. But when you absolutely had to have some stops in that game the other day, you couldn't. And it's a shame. It really, really is a shame because I would have never said that Bo Nix was a better quarterback than Daniels.
But would you agree that if you could get a defensive tackle and a defensive end, that would change?
I personally feel like though, and Vach Lombardi and I did a show this morning, and we also did some stuff on DallasCowboys.com today. And my thought and his thought were, if you somehow could go and pry that guy from the Raiders. If you pry him away from them, they just say, yes, okay, we'll trade him to you. I would turn around and the Gang of Seven that you could get, Gang of Seven's telling me you could get Quinnen Williams for a second round pick.
That's wild.
Hell yeah.
I would turn around and I would give the two ones and I'd give a second round pick to go get Quinnen Williams. I'm not, and Zach had a really good good idea last night in the post game.
Really?
He goes, listen, don't think about this as 10 games.
Yes.
Think about this as 3 years.
Yeah.
Think about players that you have for 3 years that you could use. Don't just think about the 10 games. Think about going in forward. Now you've added two All-Pro Pro Bowl players to your defense. and now figure out ways to kind of build around that. But if you told me Kenny Clark and you told me Quinnen Williams and you also had the opportunity to get Max Crosby all playing on the same line, I think you got a better at Donovan Ezeraku potentially. I think you got a pretty good front there.
So let's talk about the reports out of the weekend that the Cowboys tried to get both Crosby and Hendrickson and have been told no. Is that a firm stop sign here with a week to go?
Not with me, it wouldn't be. I would keep bothering. Like, I'm sure that Jerry and Steven were fielding calls about Micah Parsons. You know? Yeah, like, hey, were you guys interested in really trading Micah Parsons? What will it take? No, we're not going to trade Mike. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're going to trade Micah Parsons. You keep calling until that last deadline, until that, okay, we tried, we can't get it done. But like I say, trading for Max Crosby is premium stuff. Trading for, say, Phillips or somebody at Miami, that's a little bit different thing. You're probably looking at compensatory picks and things like that. But that wouldn't stop me from trying to add Quinnen Williams too. Add a couple of guys here. You know, you could take that one pick you have left and move it and get more twos or whatever you want to do. Get more picks if you feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you add two potential All-Pro players to your team,
and you have them locked up for a few years.
Exactly.
And a lot of this is based on the fact too that not only are you trying to win in this Dak window right now, but also, because you have not proven that you can actually evaluate defensive talent in the draft.
That's what it's all about.
And this is the biggest issue. And not that I'm trying to hold on to Matt Eberflus. I mean, there's things that are plenty wrong with what's going on with Matt Eberflus. I don't think the player's been particularly good. I don't think the defensive coordinator's been particularly good. But here we are now. We're into a get rid of the defensive coordinator. The fourth defensive coordinator you've had now in, what, 4 years? Three years, four? Mm-hmm. I mean, now you're making a change. Okay, they're going to tell us that, like, that means get rid of the whole staff again. That means get rid of all those guys. Now we're going to start all over again. Now these defensive players, these coaches are going to come in, and they're going to have a say in the draft. Or they're going to have a say in personnel. They're going to have a say, you know, and it's on the defensive side, it's a vicious cycle right now.
Yeah.
With every year having a new defensive coordinator and every year having a different way that these, I personally, if it was me and I was the Joneses, I would just tell Will McClay, you're running the draft, you pick the players, and we're gonna and you handle it how you want to handle it, instead of Will having to referee the Joneses, the coaches, and his own scouts.
Yeah. Will, help us find out what defensive style we want to use and what traits we want on players, and you just draft those. If you need to change it anytime, let us know. We'll find coaches that are excited to run with those kind of guys.
If you looked at your team, if you really, really, and I think Will McClay is smart enough to do this, but he probably had to go with what Jerry and Steven, and if they're driving around and listening, please call in and tell me that I'm wrong. But Will is trying to make sure that everything is kind of like the coaches are okay. The Joneses are okay. This guy, if you're going out, and this is why when coaching searches don't go very long, did you really evaluate what players you have scheme wise to fit?
Mm-hmm.
Is right. Matt Eberflus a scheme fit for the players you're currently playing with? Which, by the way, are Dan Quinn's players, Mike Zimmer's players, and now Matt Eberflus's players. You know, so did you really, by not going through and really evaluating your defense, you know, look at what it took the offensive line coaches a few games to kind of figure out all the pin and pull stuff. Remember when they were talking to us at the draft, Zach, about that, when they were saying, hey, well, we might do this, they kind of figured out what, okay, we want to try this scheme, but yeah, we figured out what players can do it. And that's why I think the offense is kind of adjusted to it better than what's going on in the defense.
Yeah, they're just flat out better coaches. And not only is he assuming a handful of players that maybe he didn't like, but the ones that he went and handpicked.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, I got to have Osa. He's been bad. Hey, yeah. Give me Kenneth Murray. Yeah. I don't need Eric Kendricks. Give me Kenneth Murray. We'll spend $7 million on him. That's a joke. Jack Sanborn. That's been a joke.
Now, I'll tell you this about Jack Sanborn. And this is just throw out a stat. When Jack Sanborn's played, teams have only rushed the ball for 3.9 yards a carry. When he's off the field, it's been 5.6. Now, he's the one guy.
Pretty good.
He's one guy that has a number below 4. Even Kenny Clark's 4.5.
That's wild.
He's gotten bad. There's no way you keep him. Yeah. $20 million you save on the cap, moving on from Kenny Clark, no brainer.
Yeah, and that's kind of exciting to think about how they could spend that money, but they got to spend it the right way. I would say Matt Eberflus is a good coach. He's not the problem. If anything in this scenario is, it's the Joneses' belief that he could make anything better out of this. I was in denial earlier in the season about how bad the talent was, and I thought it had to be Eberflus's fault, but the more time that goes on, the more tape that you get, guys just are not getting off blocks. They're not getting enough penetration, and you know, Matt Eberflus has such a long resume of success. I think it probably hit a fever pitch on Cowboys Twitter last night, people demanding the firing of Matt Eberflus, but you cannot watch these games and seriously believe that these players are capable in any scheme of being effective. So I would say just keep Eberflus for continuity. You know, the Joneses trust him. He's a good coach. Keep him for continuity. Just find players that you know, that fit his system a little bit better. That's a very interesting stat about Jack Sanborn.
Yeah, he's the only Cowboy defender when on the field that the opponent rushes for 4 yards or less.
Well, he's strong and he's in position. He's not jumping around blocks.
I just don't have him cover anybody. You know, you're okay.
I would love to know the yards given up as the closest defender in that situation.
Or his success rate against the pass.
And I wonder if you can filter out that Eagles game and just start every other game and see how he's done, because it just doesn't feel that way at all.
No, it doesn't. He's part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Well, he's had 114 run snaps. And he's had 20 tackles in 114 run snaps. And he's had two run stuffs, which if you look at like your number one guy, I think has 5 or 6. And that,
I think he's a solid rotational player. The problem is he's having to start for you, and when he's active, he's having to play 90%+ of the snaps.
All right, let's roll out of here because Shoddy's scheduled to start talking soon, Brian.
Yeah, no word from Scott Chigolnik yet. He says he's checking on it for me. So
okay, okay. We'll get Krusty's Corner probably on the other side, some film tape.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
takeaways.
Sounds good.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We'll get to this Brian Schottenheimer press conference here before too long. Well, let's get some Krusty's Corner right now, though. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, Brian Schottenheimer press conference going to be real good. You know, talking about his urgency for the team's issues that are going on right now, more apparent than ever in yesterday's defeat, and with more to talk about with you right now on that. Here's Brian Broaddus.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty is going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much to my teammates. Thank you very much to Reliant. Appreciate you guys for coming on board. Also want to say thanks to the callers we had last night in the postgame show. I felt like the guys and gals.
We had a good back and forth.
Guys and gals, we actually had a gal called on.
Yes, from Philly.
From Philly.
She's a Cowboy fan in enemy territory.
We thought she was trolling us at first, but she asked some really good questions.
She did.
So anyway, but thanks to everybody for coming on board with that. We really, really do appreciate that. Okay, we went into this game thinking that Dallas was going to have to find a way to control the inside three for the Denver Broncos, and the tape shows that they did not do a very good job of that.
The results are in.
Yeah, it wasn't one of
you are not the run stopper.
Yeah, it was the
pass defender.
I'm saying on the Cowboys offense,
the guards.
I'm starting with the offense today.
You are not the run blocker.
Yeah, they just did not do a very good job of when you look at. You know, Zach Allen and Jones and Franklin Myers and those guys, they just did not have a very good answer for that. When you look at the game, we were worried about the pressures on the outside. It wasn't the pressures on the outside that it was a killer. It was the pressures on the inside that were killers for Dak. We thought that Dak needed a place to step up. Dak needed a place to go to throw the football. I thought it was one of the poor games for Tyler Smith that he played in this game. Zach, feel free to jump in.
I agree 100%.
If you see something going on there.
Booker, I thought, probably his worst game of the season. Now, I think that this is the best defense they're going to play this year.
Sure.
So I do think that needs to be, for people to understand. Like, this is a great front they're playing against, but it was ugly to watch.
Yeah, we kind of feel like they're going into this game very similar to what they did against Green Bay, that they would have to be able to handle their front. And for the most part, like I said, I think there needs to be some more discussion about Terrence Steele at right tackle. I think this is where Nate Thomas needs to maybe get a little bit more work. I would not be surprised if we, in fact, see that in the Arizona game a little bit. Maybe they start incorporating Nate Thomas a little bit more. I thought Tyler Guyton, yes, he had the four pressures, but going up against Nick Benito, I said that earlier, I was expecting a lot worse. I was expecting Nick Benito to wear him out, to get to the corner. Tyler not being able to get outside, not being able to set his feet. I felt like he was going to be put in some terrible blocking positions. The tackle on his side was, he was fine. Tyler Smith, as I mentioned, got put in some bad positions. Hoppin got put in bad positions. But, yeah, this could have been a lot worse over there with Tyler Guyton, and it really wasn't. I have to give him some credit for battling in this one pretty well.
Salute.
But like I said, on the other side of it, though, I think Terrence Steele, you need to think about Terrence Steele and really what's going on over there at right tackle.
Yeah, they're probably going to be in the market for another tackle in the offseason. I think they should be looking at, should we shut down Tyler Smith here before too long again? Because the only explanation for that yesterday is the knees bothering him. Yeah. And tendonitis is one of those things where it's going to hurt week in and week out.
I don't think he was moving particularly well, Dawson, to your point. I think there were a couple of times where the movement up front and the power that these Broncos defensive tackles showed in this game, their ability to rush the passers really inside is super impressive with the way that they play. I think to me, when you look at the I think there was a missed opportunity in this game, and I think the missed opportunity was when Patrick Surtain went out of the game. And I don't think there was nearly enough thought put into, Okay, now, even though that Chris Abrams-Drain, their second year cornerback, number 31, excuse me, there were eight targets, eight receptions. He should have been lit up. He should have been lit up like they were lighting up your guy over on the other side, their Bridges, you know, on the Cowboys side. They did not take nearly enough advantage of Surtain being in that football game than they should have. And I think that's really, really unfortunate, because if you look at Pickens in this football game, I think Pickens was pretty engaged in what was going on. I think CeeDee was kind of nicked up in the game, as we talked about, with the ankle. So he was kind of fighting through some things. They did a great job, by the way, of covering Jake Ferguson.
Oh, they, you know, did not want Ferg to beat
you. The fact that they took Jahdae Barron on that interception and put him on him in coverage and treated him like that, I think was a big emphasis for the Denver Broncos in this game. They were not going to let him win, whether it was down the field, underneath. They did a really, really good job of making sure that they got him taken out of the game. But
once they knew they couldn't protect, it should have been like back shoulders to Pickens when he's one-on-one,
yeah,
quick game and play action.
Well, they hit on a couple of play action plays that actually worked out for him. I'm surprised they didn't, as you mentioned, try it a little bit more,
yeah,
in this game. I think Denver did actually respect your rush. The problem is, Denver also knew that you couldn't stop them on defense.
Yes.
So they were able to get a little bit more aggressive with how they were going to play.
When they blitzed, it was a problem.
Yeah.
Because Javonte Williams struggled in pass protection.
He sure did.
It was, and credit to their linebackers, like Singleton, good blitzer. I mean, they did some of that mugging the A-gap, like Zim-type simulated pressures, and it was very effective.
Yeah, Sternatt, that we talked about, remember when we visited with Andrew Mason from the Broncos. Yeah. Andrew Mason was telling us that, the Sternatt is kind of filled in a way. And I was really curious how the loss of Dre Greenlaw was going to be in this game or affect them. And it really didn't. The Bronco linebackers were outstanding in this game. But like I said, I think you let their cornerbacks off the hook a little bit, because you didn't try and go after or take advantage of not having Surtain in the game. And I thought that was really unfortunate right there.
I don't know if they have a great changeup when the run game's not working. Like, if they're not balanced, that's, going back to Carolina. Oh, yeah. Run game's dead, or offense is dead.
Yeah, I think it's, to me, that there was a couple of times when they ran the football. I thought if Dallas could have stayed with the run game a little bit better.
Yeah.
Zach, am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I felt like they were running it well.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, the penetration usually is a problem for this team, but they did a pretty good job when it came to making sure that guys were kind of sealed, and then Williams taking advantage of that running the football. Yeah. But they just couldn't sustain any of that because of the lack of.
It was setting up too many third and longs. Like, Williams barely had over 3 yards of carry.
Yeah, to me, there could have been some more things. I didn't think Shoddy particularly had a very good game calling plays myself.
I agree. And I thought you were, and even going back and watching the All-22, you were so right. I mean, everything seemed like it was going towards the sidelines.
Yeah.
And you're playing to the team speed of Denver. The stuff to Kevontae Turpin, and some of it is also the pressure. You could see it took its toll on Dak throughout the game. Because even at times where he had some time to maybe hold on to the football, he rushed a throw. Like that one that he dirts on the comeback to Turpin on third down.
Yeah.
He had some time there. Not a lot, but he could have held it a little longer to make a cleaner throw. But I think the pressure overall throughout the entire game, he didn't trust his front.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to see quarterbacks, now you're going to get off. And Dak was the most inconsistent and most inaccurate he was all season.
I didn't feel like there was a clean place for him to step.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's what going in, like we talked about earlier, going into this game, it was going to be like, because you're going to have to deal with the pressure on the edge. And but there had to be some place for him to step up, and they just they didn't
no, the middle of the pocket.
They just did not deliver that at all. So, and usually when Dak is at his absolute best, it's he's able to slide a little bit then go forward in that pocket to make those throws. So
you think BB will help? He should be back, right?
Oh yeah, he was really close. I was talking to some people in the organization, and I know every day I was reporting, oh, good day, they're adding more to it, good day. They just got to Saturday, and it was like he just could not, they didn't feel like that he could play a complete game with where he's at right now. So the hope right now is to be able to have him this week. But I thought Dallas was going to be okay playing against those guys with Hoffman even at center, with Smith, and then also Booker.
But yeah, man, I was more worried about the tackles, and it turned out you needed to worry about really the entire front five.
Yeah. Well, Dallas is and Dallas is. I wonder what's wrong with Kalen Carson that he does not get any work at all here. But you know,
he was bad last year when he was in there.
Well, they just clearly they didn't think anything about putting him in there because, like I say, Bridges. They went after Bridges, and in the running game, they also went after Shamar James a little bit here, try and take advantage of some of the aggressiveness that he has. But they were not very good up front. They didn't get nearly any pressure at all in this football game. And even some of the throws that Nick's made, he made a throw going to his left where he just, I mean, I'm thinking like, man, there's no way. And then lo and behold, he's able to throw it just a dart. But they just, you know, when you average over 7 yards a play, Sean Payton's play sheet was wide open for them to be able to call any kind of plays they wanted. So, unfortunately, that you were really compromised in the secondary. But when you're compromised in the secondary and you got no pass rush and you don't play run defense particularly well, that is a really, really bad recipe against this Denver Bronco team. Their quarterback played probably the best game he's played all season long. And that's
I think it's the second time he's put up 40 points in his career.
Yeah. Well, they were outstanding. They really, really were. And like I say, that you look for some kind of improvement, some silver lining stuff, you know, defensively. I just keep kind of going back to Solomon Thomas. I think that you need to think about more, even more of Solomon Thomas. I know he kind of rotates with Oso Digizua, but I think Solomon Thomas is doing a much better job of being a more disruptive player than what Oso Digizua is being right now. We're all still kind of waiting.
Chief was right about Milton Williams. He's having a good really year good. For New England.
Yeah.
Remember when you said instead of signing Oso, go with Milton Williams?
Go with Milton Williams.
That Vrabel defense.
Well, that's disappointing. Yeah. That's like three techniques in a row that the Cowboys have been like, here's our guy, Henry Melton, Tyrone Crawford. Nope. Yeah. More, and, you know, who knows? Half the season to go. But what you desperately needed last night was for him to crash the party and get a little bit of pressure on Bo Nix.
They just did not. They did not win on any level. And like I say, even when you blitzed Bo Nix, you know, he was 6 for 8, you know, on completions and throwing or when you pressured him. And then like we've learned also too, when Dallas brings pressure, the opposing quarterbacks are right about 73%. So that's a big issue as well, throwing the football.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner, I think it's Mondays at 3:20 is more likely because of the shoddy presser floating. We just wanted to get that in there. So Brian will be approaching the podium before too long, and we'll hear what the head coach says about where you're at and where you're going coming up next here.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the Fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Still standing by for Shotty. We'll take you up to that press conference at the Star as soon as he jumps up on the podium. Is there any reason to believe at 877-881-1053? There's not only no reason to believe, there might be no reason to trade. Where are we with that? Dak Prescott was asked about it last night. If trading for a player can add a boost, I hope. He then said, I trust that I like the guys we have. I honestly do. That's not just a political answer. Our roster's okay. Can it be better? That's for you guys to write about and judge. On his message to the locker room, forget a trade, do more. Step up and shut that talk up. After eight games, I think we've seen enough to know the truth about this football team. And Dak Prescott's a great leader. He's not going to crack. Unless he's talking about refs after that one Niners loss. But I think if you gave Dak a truth serum right now, he would say what he said on the sideline last year when Cooper Rush was out there playing and he leaned over to Trey Lance. Remember that? He said, we bleeping suck. Yep. And before the words were out of Dak's mouth, Trey Lance said facts. That's really where we're at right now. It's just an abomination. And you know, obviously the offense struggled yesterday. I think this is still a top five offense, but not nearly enough to make up for what that defense is putting them in.
There's just so much pressure on it. You hate to say it. It almost has to be perfect. They have to be perfect with their – they can't have any penalties. I mean, and things just set them back. And this defense and just the fact that you – when you go out there on the field, you know that. You just know that, you know, we can't have a turnover here because any sudden turnover is going to end up to be 7 points. Or, you know, it's just a tough way to operate if you're a play caller, if you're the quarterback, anybody involved with this offense. You can't drop a ball, can't miss a block, because if you do, it might be the one opportunity you have to get points because you know your defense is so poor right now. There's no easy way about it right now.
No, it's not, and it's not fun at all. You know, I think the narrative continues for me, or the trajectory continues for me, that this could be the worst era of Cowboys football that we've seen over the last 15 years or so. You were half decent, winning the division basically every other year under Garrett. You won it three times in a row under Mike McCarthy. But now this drafting has gotten so bad, and we know the Cowboys have not been a team that sees free agency as any sort of a solution.
Yeah, that's the problem.
If they just want to play this thing year in and year out, I don't know, because I feel like you're probably looking at multiple good drafts in a row before you even have hope for this defense. There's just way too many holes in it. And by the time we get there, who knows what Dak his career status is going to be? It's possible he plays into his late 30s at a very high level. It's also possible that over the next couple of years he has another injury and the end comes suddenly, as it did for Tony Romo. So I would love to be a fly on the wall up there at the Star right now. Friday I was saying go trade for multiple players and put yourself in contention. today I feel like it's got to be, if we make any trade, it's got to be for the short term, but more than that, for the medium to long term. Like, you are totally out of a rent-a-player situation.
I think to me, if you're going to do this, if the thought is like, okay, we're just going to try and fix a couple of things, I don't know if I'm necessarily on board. Where I am on board, though, is if you swing big and go get something big and a couple of big things, and then turn that into something that's more long term.
Yeah.
You know, that okay, you go get a couple of, say, like we were talking about earlier, a couple of all pro pieces. Now you start to build around that. And people say, well, damn, you had an all pro in Micah Parsons. Well, they got mad at Micah. Micah got mad at them. It didn't work out.
It's what you do now.
It is. Don't worry. I mean, hey, it's now water under the bridge. I'm watching him right now play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, so
he was triple teams.
He was nasty last night.
So, but that's what I'm saying, though. To me, you just, this team has made the decisions they have. But if they're going to just say, oh, we're just going to find a safety that's somebody's backup safety that's, you know, just a special teamer, and then think, oh, we'll plug him in and that'll be different. I'm not interested in doing
that.
Yeah,
you can't be doing Mingo 2.0.
Yeah.
You can't be trading a fourth round pick for a player that's healthy and is inactive when he's able to come back off IR. Yeah. This needs to be, go get Myles Garrett from Cleveland, who had 5 sacks yesterday and is bitching and whining, and that's his own damn fault because he requested a trade, then took the money and stayed there. But now all of a sudden you got a Cleveland team that's going nowhere. Does that open up the doors for a trade conversation for Myles Garrett? You've got to swing for big fish. Like the Quinnen Williams move, love it. Max Crosby, stay on the phone. Trey Hendrickson, not interested anymore.
Yeah, the back thing bothers me about it.
He's hurt and he's
not long term.
You got to get it either an extension done or it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to do an expiring move. No. I'm trying to do something that, yes, can help me now. And it's not even about salvaging this year.
Nope.
I think that's what fans hear. Like, if you're making a trade, it's about, oh, we're trying to, if it helps this year, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm trying to not just help now. I'm trying to check off a box. You got so much to rebuild on defense. At least I've got one thing that I've taken off the plate that I can move into the offseason and say I've got at least this player, maybe two, that now I can move forward with. And now I've done a little bit of something.
Especially if you keep one of your, if you keep your one or the Packer one, now you add a defensive player, say, then you go get the big fish, then you maybe add another big fish. You know, now you got three. Now you've had an off season so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you've got your team, and that's not to mention, you know, with some of the other things that you potentially can do.
Yeah, this team's drafting track record is just not good enough with defensive players to believe that with their next 4 first round picks that they have over the next 2 drafts that they'd even hit bat 500 with that.
Yeah, it's just unproven, and I love the draft. Like, I'm going to be so excited to us talk about having 2 ones if they don't do anything, and we're going to scout and watch these players and be pumped, but there's no guarantee. They could be taking another Taco Charlton, could be another Mozzie Smith. You don't know what you're going to end up getting there. If I can get a proven stud, I'd still do that.
Yeah, you know, and we need to see really for signs of encouragement the younger guys figuring it out, which I believe we're getting with Ezeraku right now. Since week 4, maybe he's top 10 in PFF edge grade for all players, not just rookie grades. He's the second best rookie behind Abdul Carter rushing the passers. But he's, you know, maybe showing some signs that he can be that guy. And then what's Revel going to show us here as, you know, I guess coming out of the bye, he'll get activated and play against the Raiders. But fingers crossed that it's at least, you know, has the ability to be a starting level corner. That would help big time for optimism for next year, because right now it looks like there's just way too many holes to have even an average defense next season. What'd you guys think of the decision to punt on 4th and 5, down 13 from your 44?
Hated it.
After already surrendering 30 to the Broncos. What was this, late third quarter?
Yeah.
So they had 2 more touchdowns to go, and I think they got one immediately on that drive that basically ended the game. That's a must-go-for situation.
You can't punt. You can't punt. I mean, we were talking about when they were at their own, I think it was 29, and it was 4th and 1. Like, should you consider doing this, or is that too risky right now? You just, you know that your defense is not giving any resistance.
No.
It's 30-17. You're on in a part of the field where you should go for it there.
And Bo Nix is not like a turnover player. You're not hoping for a turnover. Like, for all the things you wish Bo Nix did better, his turnover-worthy plays is top 10 in the league. Like, he is doing a really good job managing risk for that football team. So you're not going to stop him. You're getting run all over. Franklin looks like a Pro Bowler out there, and, you know, you're operating with a quarterback. Let's go up to the podium at the start here, Shoddy.
There's a lot of them. Man, I was dodging traffic coming in here. Jeez.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. What gives you confidence that you can get this thing turned around a little bit into your favor?
I'll start with the people, you know, the type of guys we have in the locker room. Start with your captains, the leaders, you know. You know, just from top to bottom, the right type of guys, whether you're talking about CD and Dak and, you know, on defense, Donovan Wilson and, you know, Osa and CJ and Brandon, and there's a thousand more. We've talked about this from the beginning. You know, the adversity was going to come. The adversity is here. We know that. And certainly you watch that game yesterday, you know, Calvin, and, you know, we didn't really give ourselves the best chance to win. You know, you can't have 12 penalties and 7 pre-snap penalties and in critical situations where you're on the 1 yard line or you get off the field on defense on third down and then there's a offsides penalty and then they convert and 2 plays later they're in the end zone. So I would start with the people, and I'll always start with the people, and that's the coaches as well. You know, good meetings this morning with the coaches, you know, pointed out the issues, watched it. We took our accountability for the things that we could have done better in that game, and there was certainly a lot of those, and talked about some potential adjustments. So I think it's the makeup of the people, the brotherhood, both coaches and players alike.
You talked about adjustments. What would that pertain to? Personnel, scheme?
A lot of things. Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, a lot of things. You know, you can't come off of a game like yesterday and not expect there to be changes. And it was clearly our most incomplete game that we've played as a football team, really all 3 phases. I spoke a little bit about, you know, the discipline aspect of it, but, you know, you look at the inability to run the football offensively and the run game success that Denver had, you know, that's not going to allow you to sustain much success when you're giving up a ton of yards rushing and you're not able to match that with your run game. And, you know, that was a big part of it. And then, of course, the red zone. You know, we're better than 2 for 4 offensively. You know, you're down on the 1 yard line. You got to come away after a sudden change with a touchdown, and we don't. And on defense, you know, certainly, you know, giving up 4 out of 5 drives that enter in the red zone, you can't give up touchdowns. You got to make kick field goals, and that's a big part of momentum. And we never were able to capture momentum, and the Broncos did.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys, just on the defense and in the run defense, most of the guys that were in there, the changes were in the secondary. But up front, I mean, what were the problems up front and why they were able to run so well?
Yeah, again, gap control is what the first thing I would say, Clarence. I mean, just guys fitting their gaps. And, you know, we got to clean up our eyes. You know, we've said that. I've said that up here probably, you know, too many times. There's so many things in today's modern day of pro football where it's not just layman's terms, but you're not just running outside zone to the right or to the left anymore. There's things crossing and motions that go across, and it's designed for a reason. It's designed to kind of make a guy not fit the gap the right way. And the best way to play run defense is to be coordinated and to fit your gaps. And there's been breakdowns at a lot of different levels by different people at different times. There's some things that we need to do schematically as a staff to tighten that up and to eliminate some of the combination blocks that are being allowed to happen. You know, if you're playing a 4-down spacing team and, you know, you get a combination block and the linebackers don't go and shoot a gap, you know, come downhill, then the linemen stay on that block a lot longer. And so they're going to get more displacement and movement. And there's crack replaces that have to happen. You're dealing in an era of this league. We do it. Obviously not well enough yesterday, but cut splits and you're cracking safeties and the corners have to replace. And if they don't, the ball's going to bounce to the edge. You saw us we lost perimeter support some last game. And I know Dobbins got out early in one of the big runs. And it's all about playing your gap and containing things. And I think the biggest thing is just we knew what runs were coming and we weren't able to stop them. I'm talking about downhill duo and then some of the toss crack schemes. And that's why it's you know, something that we just have to really get back to using our fundamentals and techniques. And we drilled those things, and then didn't show up in game day. And that's what's disappointing as a coach.
Yeah, after Carolina, we talked about physicality. Was physicality the issue? And then can you talk about the edge runs? I mean, you know, defensive ends and not setting the edge.
Yeah, so, again, I do think the physicality was there. The guys play hard. They always play hard. It's not about that. I think the edge runs, if you're a defensive end, you're getting ready to get cracked. You know, we call it a crack block. You got a choice, right? You either pop the crack or you try to beat it with speed, and we call it cleaning the window. And there's a couple good examples of those. But what was happening is sometimes our alignments on the backside with the linebackers weren't perfect. And so when they toss the ball, if I'm a little bit behind or half a yard removed from my gap, I can't get over the top of the block. And if you don't set the edge, we talk about setting the edge out of the numbers on those plays, it creates running lanes. And there was too many running lanes. I know certainly on the 42-yard run that that Harvey had, there was too many running lanes, and we had a couple opportunities to get them on the ground, and we didn't.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.